following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
So what's the truth about Hamas, and how have Muslim organizations in America reacted to the massacre?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
This is how we rise up. Thursday on The Line of Fire. Those watching see that we are back on the screen. We are at our studio at Mercy Culture in Fort Worth. Number is the same, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Our hearts continue to be heavy with the incredible numbers of deaths, of suffering coming out of Israel, and obviously the suffering for the people of Gaza, as well as a consequence to the murderous actions of their leadership, Hamas. This is Michael Brown, and this is the right place to be today to get a biblical, a spiritual, a kingdom perspective on what's happening in the Middle East, and to understand better the nature of Hamas, and to understand better what some world reaction has been to the terrorism. I mentioned earlier in the week that Muslims gathering in Sydney, Australia at the Sydney Opera House were chanting, "Gas the Jews." Not just kill all the Israelis, that would be barbaric enough, but gas the Jews. Jews worldwide are obviously the enemy, the guilty party. I mentioned that 31 student organizations at Harvard University put out statements blaming the massacre by Hamas on Israel. Yeah, now a number of CEOs, major companies, are saying we will not hire any of those people. And those people from Harvard University that put out those statements, we will not hire them. And they have doubled down. They're upset with, quote, the racist comments coming their way. And one of the most bizarre, sick things that we're having to deal with, some have rightly called it surreal, is earlier in the week, Israeli soldiers, as they were going to the areas in the Beretz Kibbutzim and sorting out the dead found in one village, in one kibbutz, they found 40 children or babies that were murdered and some of them beheaded. So this claim has been repeated, and then President Biden mentioned it and said, well, he didn't actually see pictures. And people saying, they didn't behead children. Oh, wait, what kind of madness is this? Oh, they burned babies alive. That's okay. They shot little children in the head. That's okay. They raped women and slaughtered them. That's okay. They shot 90-year-old grandmothers in the head and killed them. That's okay. They murdered whole families in their beds. That's okay. They beheaded soldiers on cat. That's okay. Oh, but they didn't behead babies. What kind of madness is this? This is what we're dealing with. But I'm looking at a headline now on the Daily Mail that says this: Israel releases images of babies murdered and burned by Hamas as verified photos of others beheaded by terrorists are confirmed by local media, and rescue team reveals pregnant woman had child sliced from her womb. So Hamas, in that sense, like ISIS, the very worst demonic nature of radical Islam put on full display. So who is Hamas? Now, if you know Hebrew, you know the word Hamas means violence. That's a different word than in Arabic. In Arabic, it means zeal, but it is an acronym. And the stands for three words in Arabic. And it is the front for Islamic resistance. Hamas came to power in the late 1980s. Part of it was a fundamentalist Islamic reaction to the other Muslim leaders in Palestinian Authority, PLO, these different groups with different similar origins, backgrounds, that they were too secular. So Hamas rose up as a religious fundamentalist movement against Zionism, against Israel. Now, here's what you need to understand. In Islam, you have two words, two worlds. You have Dar al-Islam and Dar al-Harb. Dar al-Islam, that is the world of Islam. That is all territories, all countries that are under the sway and power of Islam. Remember, the word Islam does not mean peace. It comes from the same root as the root shalom. Shalom in Hebrew, salam in Arabic, comes from the same root. But the particular noun form and verbal form it comes from, Islam means submission. So just as Christians want to spread the gospel all around the world and bring people into the lordship of Jesus and spread the good news, Islam wants to spread Islamic thinking, the teachings of Muhammad, Sharia law, Quran, around the world, but it is a legal religion. There's no separation between mosque and state in Islam. It's even been said that in Islam, life is part of religion, let alone religion being part of life. Life is part of religion. So what it means, the way it works out is this, that Islam, if a country becomes Muslim, now it comes under Muslim law. See, if we bring the gospel and many people in the country come to faith, the country does not come under a Christian legal system. We have the Christian equivalent of Sharia. We don't have that. Islam, mosque, and state, in that sense, go hand in hand. Hence, you have these theocracies like Afghanistan, run by the Taliban, or Iran, run by the supreme leader. You have a very, very different philosophy. So these nations, these peoples, now they come under Islamic subjection. So that is Dar al-Islam. That is the world of Islam. And you have that which is outside, that's Dar al-Harb. That's the world of the sword or of war. In other words, Islam then is at war with the rest of the world to bring it into submission to Islam. Obviously through conversion, but often through the sword as well, the sword of conquest. Now, what happens if you have Spain, for example, and Spain conquered by the Muslims, by the Moorish conquest centuries ago. So Spain under Islamic control, but then ultimately it breaks free. Hungary for a season was under Islamic control. It now breaks free of that Islamic rule. That is now an affront to Muhammad. That is now an affront to Islam. It would be like someone took your wife and they now have your wife, or they took your kids and they have your kids. Or the home you grew up in that you owned, you got pushed out and someone else took it. It's considered an affront. The Jewish people back in Israel, back in their ancient homeland, this is considered a massive affront to Islam because this was territory conquered by the Muslims not that many years after the rise of Islam and Muhammad. That's why when they conquer, they build their mosque. So that's why you have the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque right there in Jerusalem near the location of the ancient Jewish temple. It is Islam's way of saying we've taken over this area. So the fact that it is in Jewish hands, in Jewish control, that is an ongoing affront to Islam. And Hamas has never wanted peace. At no point did Hamas say, let us make a peace treaty with Israel, let us recognize the Jewish state and live side by side. No, at no point did Hamas do that. Hamas has one goal and one goal only, that is the obliteration of Israel. Let me read something to you from the original Islamic charter. So this is 1988. It was revised, about 30 years after that, 2017, vision. But let me read to you from the foundational statement of the charter in 1988. The later charter toned down some of the Islamic language, but the overall goals and armed resistance remaining the same. Are you ready for this? Israel will exist. This is from the Hamas charter. Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. That is the Hamas Charter, 1988. That's why Hamas was born, to obliterate Israel. Let me point out that on the 25th anniversary of Israel, the enemies of Israel said, we will destroy you, the Yom Kippur War. terrible suffering, many casualties, great pain for the nation. Nation caught completely off guard, a massive security lapse, but the enemies of Israel failed. Why? Because God has eternal purposes for Israel. To all those listening to me who say, Dr. Brown, you don't get it. There are no more purposes that remain for the Jewish people as a people. They can be saved through Jesus, but they rejected the Messiah. The temple was destroyed. God has moved on from Israel. He's now working through the church, the body of Christ. Individual Jews can be saved, but there are no future purposes that remain for Israel. I declare to you that the God who scattered my Jewish people in the past, and we have been under his discipline and judgment for many centuries, the God who scattered my people is the God who regathered my people. It is he who rebuilt Israel. It is he who restored Israel. It is he who will keep Israel. And Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem for a reason, because God's purposes for Israel as a nation, as a purpose, remain. You can say, well, that's just dispensationalism. Well, I'm not a dispensationalist. Well, it's just Zionism. Well, then God's a Zionist because he's the one that said that's your homeland. You go through Psalm 111. Read it through. See the language. Excuse me, Psalm 105. Go through Psalm 105 and see the language. See how God emphasizes that this was a... He's keeping it because of his word. His purposes for Israel remain. He will bring them to pass, and there will be a national turning of Jewish people recognizing Yeshua as Messiah, and all Israel will be saved. But I declare that the God who scattered is the God who regathered. That's the only reason we're back in the land, by the grace and mercy and decree of God. And those who have a real hard time with this and resist it passionately, why? Why? Why are you so upset about it? Why resist it so vehemently? This is biblical truth. You may argue with me about it or fight me about it, but you're not fighting me ultimately. We can have doctrinal disagreement. I'm just telling you, you're not fighting me ultimately. You're fighting God if you're saying this is not his hand. Yes, there's pain. Yes, there's suffering because Israel's not promised perfect protection. But hey, do we indict the church when Christians suffer around the world, or do we say that's persecution? Well, this is an attack on the Jewish people because we are back in the land. The foundational nature of Islam, according to the Hamas Charter, nothing in nationalism is more significant or deeper than in the case when an enemy should tread Muslim land. This is the thing. The Israel, in is the eyes of Hamas and religious Muslims, is treading on Muslim land and must be uprooted. Here's what they say about the Jewish people. The standard anti-Semitic tropes are repeated. With their money, they took control of the world media, news agencies, the press, publishing houses, broadcasting stations, and others. Yeah, how about you want to hear a crazy quote? Do I have time to read it? Yeah, let me read this to you. Article 17 of the original Hamas Charter. Zionist organizations under various names and shapes, such as Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, espionage groups, and others, are all nothing more than cells of subversion and saboteurs. These organizations have ample resources that enable them to play their role in societies for the purpose of achieving the Zionist target and to deepen the concept. Rotary clubs, yes, all part of the Zionist conspiracy. So says Hamas, a murderous terrorist fundamentalist group. I'm going to come back with some shocking quotes from Hamas, and then some conciliatory words by a major celebrity, a surprising voice. You'll hear that in a moment.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribute Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss, for some foolish reason, a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
Nopalea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what this song says? Come, let us rejoice in the Lord. Right now is more of a time of mourning than a time of dancing. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Bottom of the hour, I'm going to be joined with by an expert on Islam in terms of Islam in the West, and we'll be talking about Islamic reaction in America to the Hamas deeds of atrocity and barbarism. I was going to say a couple of things. I'm just going to hold off on that because I noticed we've got a friend from Israel on the line. But very quickly, you know my voice, you know the stands we take, you know by God's grace that we will bring grace and truth together. We won't back down from controversy. We will stand strong, and we'll stand together with you to equip and help you to stand strong. So I was just talking with one of my students here in Fort Worth, and he really wants to help promote our wellness supplements, and was saying, hey, look, if you're going to buy wellness supplements, buy them from Trivita. Not only are they excellent, but then the money gets donated to the Line of Fire so we can reach more people. So it's one of those sacred seasons. I saw somebody post, oh, you're just enriching yourself from the gospel. It's like, what are you talking about? You could give $1 million a day to the broadcast and $1 million would go out to reach the world, and the funds would be given to help the poor and the needy. What we're doing, we're seeking to raise awareness because of a holy movement that's taking place at a sacred moment in American history. So if you'd like to find out more, switch over to Trivita. If you do that, then you help the Line of Fire directly. You can call 800-771-5584 if you want to find out more, or you can go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. Remember, 100% of your first order is donated to the Line of Fire. So this is just another way that we help get a sacred message out to the world. Let us go over to Yonatan in Israel. Boy, I'm so sorry to have to talk to you at a time like this. How are you doing, friend?
Well, you know, throughout this week, every time somebody asked me how I'm doing, I was like, you don't really mean it, because what can I say? Like,
what can you say?
Personally,
just a lot of tears.
I'm
a lot
fine.
Of tears. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any family members or friends who died or were
well
wounded?
Until now, there is, just to give people the context or the scale of this disaster. Me personally, I don't know good friends of mine that got killed, but four people that I know, young people, ages 20 to 30, who are ex-Haredi Jews. So they are part of some group of ex-Orthodox Jews in Israel. They went to the party in near Gaza, and four of them died. Oh. Okay, so I don't know them personally. They are not good friends, but I know their faces. I met them a couple of times, and yes, the scale of this atrocity, yes, and we didn't even know most of the name of the people who got killed. So I hope I won't hear that somebody I know died, but yeah. I don't even know how to start. I don't even know. I heard your podcast like 2 days ago that you say that you started when the news came about this thing. You were like, what? 100 people got killed?
No, it was 40. When possible. I first heard 40, Yoni, I first heard 40. I said, no, how could this be?
Yes.
And then the numbers went up, all you could do is weep. I mean, it's too staggering.
So just for context, the day... It was on Saturday, but most importantly, it was on Simchat Torah, which is the happiest day in Judaism. You can't even imagine how much of a celebration this day is, and it's a celebration of pure joy for the Jewish people, for the Torah, for the God. People don't get drunk or don't get high. They're just pure joy, and it became such a horrible day. And when I wake up, there was a siren in Tel Aviv. I live in Tel Aviv, but my parents are in Bnei Brak. It's near Tel Aviv, so the holiday. I'm staying with my parents. So in 6:30 in the morning, there was alarm, azaka. So I wake up and like, okay, this may probably something as usual, you know, the Arab shooting missile. Nobody can imagine what's going to happen, and because I'm with my parents, they keep in the Shabbat. I'm not observing, but they observe. So I'm supposed that they keep the Shabbat. So I cannot. I went to my phone, but I couldn't tell them what's happening because then it's like waving to them to their faces that I'm not keeping Shabbat. So I didn't tell them anything. And when I go, I went to the synagogue around 10:30. I left my phone at home because I say, okay, maybe, I don't know, some rocket, some. And when I get to the synagogue, people start talking about the numbers.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so people start saying numbers. So I was like, man, what are you talking about? 100 dead, 50 kidnapped? What are you talking about? You're crazy. Yeah, maybe there was some terrorists crossed the border and fought with some soldiers. Let's hope everybody okay. But, you know, as the days went on and on and on, the numbers start going up and up and up and up. And 200, 300, 400, 500. And now, the conclusion of it, look, if people, you all need to understand that I'm considered to be a central left in Israel, and I got criticized a lot by a lot of my friends for always siding with peace and try to negotiate with even with Hamas. Even, and I'm the one who always gets the heat from Israelis for saying, no, Hamas is they're a terrorist organization, but if we give them more money to feed the people, if we give them more infrastructure, if we give the people more jobs, they will be okay because they want to live. That's a cause. And whenever they shoot rockets, I would okay. It's a war. You can say it's a war. When if you attack soldiers, it's a war. What happened in Israel in the past week? Okay, in the day of the attack, it's worse than I need people to understand. It's worse than the Holocaust. I suggest people to. I usually don't do it, to go to Ben Shapiro YouTube page and to see the photos. You know, my great grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. She flew Poland before the Holocaust, but her entire family was murdered in Poland. And the story that we hear about the Holocaust, up until today, it was like, oh, this is not going to happen because we have a state, we have... Nobody can do it anymore. Nobody can go into a house and shoot a mother and a father in front of the kids, and in another house to take the mother and the father to tie their hand and to force them to watch how they shoot their kids. People need to hear this. This is not war. This is not people fighting for freedom, people fighting for independence. This is not the Irish. Even the Irish, they blew. Yeah,
we're losing the connection there. But this is, thank you for calling in, Yoni. Christians around the world are praying for Israel now. Folks are raising funds to help with humanitarian needs in Israel. And obviously the magnitude of numbers, the Holocaust stands alone, but the brutality, the atrocity, the demonic nature of what is happening, it is beyond description. And yes, Ben Shapiro has been playing the video saying you need to look at this. You need to see this to feel the weight of it. And for anyone, I've said, look, if you say I don't agree with Israel's policies towards the Palestinians, okay, we can have that discussion. I don't think Israel today is fulfillment of prophecy. We can have that discussion. But the moment, for a split second, you say a single syllable to justify a single act that was committed by these Hamas terrorists, you yourself have sided with evil. You yourself have sided with the devil himself, because he is the father of this type of murderous demonic sickness. Yoni, we continue to pray, and I know you've lost your faith, but may God make himself real to you in these days. Stay in touch with us, okay? We love you, we're standing with you, and we're crying with you as well. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way? Because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it. And the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear. Testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. I am supposed to be joined by a guest. It looks like he's tied up on another call. He just said he was running late on an interview. If I don't get him on, I'm going to give you some of the data he was going to. The suffering of the Palestinians. I've been calling for prayer for especially the people of Gaza for days, okay? I have been saying there's going to be great suffering that comes their way, and at the end, there'll be more civilian casualties among the people in Israel. That is an inevitability. Now here's what is so crucially important to this video. Hamas is gleefully recording these things. When Ben Shapiro was playing clips, video clips, he was saying this was recorded by Hamas. Who do you think's taking the pictures? It's Hamas recording these things and gleefully showing them and raping women in the field next to dead bodies of their friends at the music festival, which was a peace music festival. But as Hamas puts out this video, and they said, you know, we don't hurt, you know, we're doing things in accordance with Islamic law, etc., and we're treating these hostages right. But here's what they say. If you bomb civilians without advance warning, we will start executing hostages and videotaping it. Israel, if you bomb civilians without advance warning. You say, who gives advance warning? Israel all the time. Hamas itself admits to it. That's what Israel does. So you've got Hamas leaders meeting in a certain building. It's filled with civilians. They will actually call the people because Israel's got, and this is why the security breach was so absolutely shocking, because Israel's tapping the phones in Gaza. They will call the people living in that apartment. Get out. We're about to bomb. They will actually do that. They've dropped leaflets saying we're going to bomb areas. They've told civilians, flee us if you can get through the Egyptian crossing, the border. Hamas, terrorists, ISIS, these groups, when they attack civilians, they are doing it willfully. They are doing it intentionally. They are doing it joyfully. They are doing it in the name of Allah and their perverse version of religion. Israel is doing its best to avoid civilian casualties. You say, well, hang on, they've turned off power. And how do you justify that? Israel's definitely putting the squeeze on terrorists. There is no question about that. Israel is putting the joy in the streets of, say, Israeli soldiers, women that have been raped and killed, spitting on their bodies. That's when Israel said, okay, we're just shutting down power here. This is when one of the leaders said, these are urine animals. So those reacting like that, but that's not meant to kill. That's not meant to kill. That is meant to put extreme pressure on the people and the nation. And yes, America and other nations would do the same thing. When you think of this, now that the numbers are in, earlier in the week I said it would be like 10 9/11s in one day. Well, it would be like more than 20 9/11s in one day as the death toll keeps rising. And the level of what was done, how it was done, you don't just get used to this. And when you have these other groups, BLM, we talked about this, yeah. Absolutely. But the BLM movement itself, Marxist, queer ideology, all of that. And when you have BLM supporting Hamas, it's the resistance movement and saying, yeah, what Hamas is doing parallels the African-American resistance in America. What? How dare you say that? How dare you say those words as if African-Americans committed crimes like this, these deadly crimes that terrorists have committed. So we must recognize and feel the weight of these things. So I'm going to get into some of the data here of how Hamas did. First, though, relevant call from Brian in Indiana. Welcome to the Line of Fire. So, sir, your question about Islam, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, I agree 100% with everything you've been talking about. I'm a Messianic Jew, very much for Israel. My dad visited back in the late 80s. But I just had a question for you just as an historian and a religious scholar. So I know that, you know, obviously in Christianity, we acknowledge in Messianic Judaism, but even looking at it from Gentile Christian perspective, that all the Hebrew prophets are acknowledged, from Moses through Ezekiel, Daniel, King David, all the way to Jesus. And because of that, Christians believe that God still has a hand with the ethnic Hebrews. He'll bring them back to Israel. The weird thing about Islam is they also believe in all the Hebrew prophets. They believe in Moses through Ezekiel, Daniel, King David through Jesus. They believe they were ethnic Israelites. And I was wondering, why do you think the Muslims never had a certain idea that God would then bring the Jews back to Israel, or still had the ethnic Jews had a part to play with Allah?
Here's the deal. And not sure what the problem is with our phone line, things cutting in and out. Our profound apologies as we're broadcasting from multiple sites. Sometimes these things happen, but again, our apologies for some of the audio quality today. Muslims, you have to understand that they're Muslims and they are early worshipers of Allah, and Muhammad is the seal of the prophets in Islam. So it's not like not at all. In their view, the promises come through Ishmael, not Isaac. And the Jews later, and then the Christians later, changed the Bible. So they say Quran is because the Bible is opposite, that the biblical authors, many of whom, 500 years after the end of the Testament, tales and these apocryphal and pseudepigraphic, he gets things confused, and then it comes out as, quote, the revelation of the Quran. So that's what happens there. So all of these, from Moses to Jesus, are recast as prophets of Islam. And even though Jesus is looked at as Messiah who will return, he's not the Son of God. Different views of those things. And there aren't promises to the nation of Israel that are accepted by Islam in that sense. So you say, well, why the beef with the Jews? Why the controversy with the Jews? Well, the first reason is that Jews rejected Muhammad, that when he began getting his, quote, revelations, which are obviously demonic in origin, not from above, but from below, he would be the most prominent false prophet in world history. So it doesn't mean there are not many sincere, devout Muslims, but they're believing in a false religion. And ultimately, Allah is not the God of the Bible. Even though Allah, Al-Illah, in Arabic, ultimately just means the God, it is a different God in many ways than the God of the Scriptures. So what happened was, when Muhammad began his preaching and thinking now the Jewish people will recognize him as a prophet, and he was rejected. So that is the root of the animosity, the Islamic rejection of Muhammad, and then the subsequent Islamic rejection of Islam. Some of the anti-Semitism in church history comes in a similar way. When the preaching of the gospel was resisted and rejected, as a result of that, then over time, the Jews become the enemies. And all Jews are now guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus, etc. So you have these ridiculous concepts that arise and that become anti-Semitic tropes. And then in Islamic history, Jews often demonized and are called the sons of monkeys and pigs. And in the original Hamas charter, there is a well-known Islamic saying. It's not in the Quran, but it's early Islamic tradition, that the end will not come until Muslims fight against the Jews. The end will not come until Muslims fight against and take over and destroy the Jews. There's even a this was not just in Islamic tradition. It was maybe 10 years ago that the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem quoted that, the highest leader in Islam and the Palestinian Authority, or a high-level Islamic leader, quoted that in a talk in Jerusalem. Now, there are plenty of Muslims who are not even aware of them, maybe more nominal Muslims or Muslims in a more Islamic tradition that has developed out of Islam. But many scholars would say, no, Islam in its origin is violent. Islam in its origin believes in conquest by the sword. And remember, Muhammad, as my friend Dr. James White likes to point out, was first a spiritual leader, then a political leader, than a military leader. So as long as people are converted, it's true, but much of Islamic growth over the centuries and its domination to this day is with the power of the sword. And this is why Sharia law is so oppressive, and that's why you don't buck it. And that's why to this day there are Islamic countries in the world where it is on the books, it is law, that if you convert from Islam to another religion, the penalty is death. And your family can kill you, and if they kill you, they're doing a good thing. They're doing a righteous thing, and they wouldn't even be penalized by law. I know of a brother, Palestinian Muslim, that came to faith, became a follower of Jesus. When his parents found out, they poisoned him. When nothing happened to him, they became believers as well. They realized that they were fighting against God. So God is moving in the Muslim world. The more Muslims have been saved in the last 100 years than in Islamic history before that. God is moving. We need to pray for the salvation of those in the Muslim world. And yes, the suffering of the Palestinians is just as important to God as the suffering of Israelis. But let us not make the false moral equivalency. Let us not make the false moral equivalency. Hamas targeted civilians to destroy and kill. Israel is doing its best to avoid that. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health. Over the years, I have helped countless people increase and maintain their natural energy production with Alfred Libby's slow-dissolve Super B12, sold only by Trivita. I have never met anyone deficient in caffeine or sugar, but I have met many people deficient in energy-supporting vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is one of the 8 B vitamins, and it is an essential nutrient, meaning the body cannot make B12 on its own. You see, unlike other oral B12 supplements, Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is fast-acting because the formula is scientifically developed to dissolve under the tongue, bypassing the digestive process, making it immediately available for use in the body. Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is also formulated with other natural energy-supporting ingredients, such as folate, ginseng root, and other natural ingredients. Not only are the ingredients beneficial for energy, but they also support healthy cognition, mood, nerve function, and natural hemoglobin production. You deserve to live with greater energy and mental clarity. And now, like millions of others, you can with Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12, sold only by your wellness partner, Trivita.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday as our hearts continue to be heavy. Think of funeral after funeral after funeral in Israel. I was watching a short video with a chief rabbi of Israel, and he was explaining why he gave the go-ahead for workers. You have these ultra-Orthodox workers come in after a terrorist attack or something, and they have to be sure that they get every single piece of human bodies. If people have been blown up or burned, they have to recover. This it's a sacred thing to recover every last body part. It's I've seen them after bus bombing or something like that working, but this happens on the Sabbath, and they were told you can work on the Sabbath. It's pikuach nefesh. It's saving a life, and they were just the legal decisions being made in Judaism, the overwhelming nature of it. And something struck me talking to Yoni today. We've been so absorbed in the moment by moment agony and pain and shock. We've been so absorbed in that. And the government now has formed a unity government to work together to say, hey, we got to put our differences aside. I mean, it's like arch enemies politically. It would be like Trump and Biden say, we're going to work side by side because we're in a crisis. So that's what's happened in Israel, which is a positive development. But I didn't even think of this larger picture. You know, every Simchat Torah after this time of tremendous rejoicing, as Yoni said, just dancing and celebration, tremendous joy, you're going to remember this happened on Simchat Torah. And there's going to be that mingling of sorrow with joy. Well, it reminded me, as he was talking, of what happens at a Jewish wedding. So you pronounce them husband and wife and so on. And then you have a glass, and it's, actually like a glass you drink out of. You have that in a wrapped up in a napkin so it doesn't splatter. And the groom will then stamp on it with his foot and smash it, and then everyone celebrates. You say, what's that about? Well, it's a tradition to always remember the suffering and the pain, remember the destruction of the temple, remember the pain and destruction we've suffered over the centuries before you rejoice. And that's almost now going to be built into to Simchat Torah from here on when you think about it. Tomorrow is our normal You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers Friday broadcast. But I'm going to be doing some teaching first. It's just so much we need to talk about. So we're kind of in war mode here as well, in lockdown mode. So we're going to do things a little bit differently. I will take some calls, but I'm going to limit subjects and do some important teaching and even probe the question, well, who are the children of the devil? The Jews are the children of the devil, and they're getting what they deserve. Well, we're going to look at the New Testament. We're going to ask the question, who are the children of the devil? Also, for those of you that want to join our team, become monthly supporters, and help us get this broadcast around America, amplified in every city across the country, and expand our podcast and live stream and other outreaches. When you join up, we've never done this. In addition to the normal two books that we give you, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, we want to give you two more books when you sign up to become torchbearers. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, and Christian Antisemitism. These books will open your eyes and change your life. I guarantee you they will impact you as you read them. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood is our most translated. Of course, you can just buy the books, but we'll give them to you free when you sign up. So you can do that at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Donate. Monthly support. Thank you for joining our support team. So Dexter Van Zyl was supposed to join us today. He actually reached out about coming on the air days ago, and we said, great, let's do it today. He's managing editor of Focus on Western Islamism, founded by the Middle East Forum 2022. Prior to his work at FWI, he served as Shulman Research Fellow for the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis, CAMRA, where he played a major role in countering misinformation broadcast into Christian churches by Palestinian Christians and refuting anti-Semitic propaganda broadcast by white nationalists and their allies in the U.S. So he has an article on Islamism News, Islamism.news, called U.S. Islamist Organizations Cheer on Hamas Massacre. Now, you may be a Muslim listening and say, well, they don't speak for me. I'm not saying they speak for every Muslim. They speak for themselves. So here's what Dexter Van Zyl says. How did the United States Council of Muslim Organizations, USCMO, a prominent American Islamist organization, respond when Hamas thugs beheaded, captured Israeli soldiers, murdered civilians in their homes, kidnapped scores of women and children, and raped concert goers in an open field next to their murdered friends? What did it have to say about the atrocities which represent the largest one-day slaughter of Jews since the Holocaust, which took place on Simchat Torah, the day when Jews celebrate the gift of the Torah? Well, USCMO issued a statement of solidarity with the Hamas thugs. This is a major Islamic U.S. organization. It turned these atrocities into legitimate acts of self-defense. Quote, the recent unprovoked and continuous attacks by Israel on Palestinian towns, cities, and refugee camps have resulted in tragic loss of Palestinian lives. They urged governments in the Middle East to reconsider their decision to make peace with Israel. They also criticized Israel for attempting to defend itself against Hamas violence, declaring no security measures can bring true peace in the absence of justice. Pretty mind-boggling. Dexter writes, the fact that the USCMO came to the aid of Hamas really isn't a surprise. It is the largest umbrella organization of Islamist groups in America, three of which, Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the American Muslims for Palestine, and the Muslim American Society, have roots in the Muslim Brotherhood, which has fueled a lot of the ideology of the modern Islamic revolution that you think of the names and faces of Ayatollah Khomeini or Osama bin Laden. Or there's a lot of this, and the ideologies of Hamas and other murderous radical Islamic groups, they come out of the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt. Two other member organizations, the Islamic Circle of North America and the Muslim Ummah of North America, are proxies for Jamaat al-Islami, a violent South Asian Islamist movement that has provided funds to Hamas. As images of Hamas barbarism continue to flood social media, the members of the organization might regret its statement. One of the most horrific videos broadcast on X, previously known as Twitter, was of the semi-nude body of Shani Luke, a tattoo artist from Germany, with a gunshot wound to her head. The video showed her being ferried, apparently unconscious, through Gaza City in the back of a pickup truck. Another video on X documented the abduction of another young woman, Noah Argamani, on a motorcycle as she screamed to her boyfriend for rescue. Another image posted on X showed a young Israeli boy being taunted and bullied by Palestinian children after his abduction. The USCMO statements comes as no surprise to anyone who has been on the front lines of the fight against Islamic radicalism and jihadism in Muslim communities in the U.S., said Zudi Yasser, president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy and author of A Battle for the Soul of Islam. So here is a Muslim speaking against this. He said, if Americans ever needed a reason to completely abandon American Islamist groups wholesale as terrorist-sympathizing un-American anti-Semitic groups, the latest statement by the USCMO is it. This is a fellow Muslim criticizing these radical Muslim groups in America. They present themselves as peace-loving and we're here for everybody and we stand together. We've pushed back on this and exposed quotes over the years. Quote from Zuhdi Yasser, their comments are not just fit for any faith, are not fit for any faith, humanity, or justice they claim to represent. Umar Lee, a Muslim convert to Islam who briefly supported Salafism, so more radical Islam, before joining efforts to reform the practices of Islam, told Focus on Western Islamism that USCMO's statement fails to address Hamas atrocities that any responsible religious leader must acknowledge. Quote, this is from a convert to Islam. People are being very vague with these celebratory statements. If you believe all of those testify, I want you to go point by point and tell me, yes, I believe massacring kids at a party is acceptable. Yes, I believe rape is acceptable. Yes, I believe kidnapping is acceptable. Yes, I believe massacring families in their homes is acceptable. Yes, I believe massacring old people is acceptable. I want you to go point by point and tell me that you support each of these actions. None of these actions in any way benefit the Palestinian people. So here you have Muslim voices speaking up against these other Muslim voices, the other Muslim voices that defend what Hamas did, that justify what Hamas did, that minimize what Hamas did. I remember decades ago when terrorist attacks took place against Israel, and Louis Farrakhan would be asked for a statement. He said, "I stand against all violence, Jewish, Christian, Muslim." No, that wasn't the question. Will you condemn what was done to Israel? "I stand against all violence." No, no, right at that moment, you stand against that violence and don't group it in with anything else. So anyone who cannot categorically say what Hamas did is unjustifiable, what Hamas did is barbaric, demonic, even if you don't think that Israel belongs in the land at all, if you are a human being of moral decency, and yes, I've said this several times this week, and I will continue to say it, then under no circumstances can you justify with, defend, in any way minimize the atrocities that were committed. Does that give Israel a right to willfully bring destruction on the citizens of Gaza? No. I will say this. They elected Hamas. They have rejoiced with Hamas victories and spit on the bodies of Israelis. Unfortunately, they have brought suffering on themselves. Still, we pray for safety. We pray for Israel to do what it does wisely. But Israel clearly, just like the Nazis had to be defeated, Hamas needs to be defeated. And what's the solution? What happens in Gaza? We need God. There are no simple earthly solutions. And most importantly, Muslims, Jews, everyone in the land, we need the Messiah. May hearts and minds be open to Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. May people find mercy in him. And may God bring, as we've said again and again, may God bring beauty out of ashes.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.